and manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
And I'm Jim McClure, your host this week for Community Matters. My guest is Susanna Thorngate Ryan, who is America's newest Maria in the Sound of Music. She'll be appearing in Sound of Music this weekend and next at the New Berlin West Community Theater. And you can go online, and if you put in the West Performing Arts Center or West... New Berlin West will get the job done for you, New Berlin West High School. And Susanna, this has to be a real thrill. Is this kind of the pinnacle of where your acting ambitions have gone so far?
Definitely. I actually haven't done anything since high school, so the last show I did was A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I was Titania, and I took, 7-8 years off, and I get to be Maria right away, so that's pretty special.
Was it always kind of in your heart, or was it you stepped away, you were ready to go on to other things, and then you kind of got the bug back?
Yeah, so in college I just couldn't find the time to really invest in theater anymore. I was doing so much else. But I wanted to help out. I've always wanted to work in theater in schools and as an English teacher and a music teacher. That kind of seems like it'll work itself out. And I kept volunteering to help out in a way that is about acting or music and kind of getting ignored a little bit, which I understand kind of the artistic, a director wants to have all the
elements,
yeah, like in their
facets.
own control. But this year at Walworth Elementary and Middle School, they did Into the Woods, and I was teaching there, and the director kept sending out a request for a stage manager, and I finally decided, you know what, I've never done anything backstage, but my students are in this and they need a stage manager, and I think I'll do it. So I volunteered to do that, and I was back kind of just with the whole theater feel, and I got the bug, and I had to see what was going on around Milwaukee.
So this was your, I think you said, this was your first venture as far as auditioning after the bug came back?
Yes.
In golf, I think they call it a hole-in-one, where the first thing you try works out. Well, what was it about the character of Maria in Sound of Music that appealed to you? And describe to folks a little about who she is and her motivations.
Well, what I think about Maria is she's such a classic character. And I was looking around at the different shows that I could audition for. And one of the reasons I tried out for Maria was because I felt more connected to her character or more able to play her character than another. I know another theater is doing Evita right now. That's a dream role of mine, but I couldn't actually play it, I don't think. I don't have the vocal range, and I'm just not really the type. I'm more of a Maria type. So I thought I'd play it safe and see if I could get this part. And I also just kind of, throughout the process of deciding to audition and auditioning, felt like Julie Andrews a little bit. There's just there's a confidence, a sweetness, but it's she's the way she plays Maria, which is different than I play it, but obviously the most famous version. She's bold, she's funny, she's still kind of a kid. I mean, there's just a lot going on with Maria. And I think that that's really interesting to play, to be able to have so many different kind of things she's going through and this transformation she kind of goes through in the show.
It's kind of interesting how Maria, as the young novitiate, starts out in the Abbey, filled with, I guess, wannabe nuns is the best way to put it, and then the older nuns of the Order and Mother Superior. But I'm tempted to say that Maria is somebody with no enemies, but she starts out with a whole lot of enemies, the ones closest to her. How do you solve a problem like Maria was all about, I guess, what a pain she was to them?
Yeah, I think that, I think probably Maria, I've kind of wondered recently, like, how did she end up in the convent in the first place? And we know very little about her, except for that her parents died at some point, and I'm wondering how she kind of ended up there. And it's true she didn't really know what she was in for when she wound up there. So she's just being herself. And she's so innocent that she doesn't really know that it's making enemies, but it's she's just kind of living life to the fullest within the confines of being a nun or becoming a nun.
We'll come back to that and how she ended up winning over the world and our hearts through Mary Martin, who originated the role on the stage, and, of course, Julie Andrews. I think iconic is the way to go. Let's take you back to your association within our listening area, which is everywhere from Racine and Kenosha out to the Geneva Lakes area, Fontana, Lake Geneva, Williams Bay, and, of course, Walworth. Did you think when you were growing up or when you were going to school that you'd end up in Walworth teaching? Where did you go to college, and what was the journey to Walworth? I think it was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I went to college at North Park University in Chicago, and yeah, I got a teaching job the summer I graduated, or, you know, right after I graduated.
Matriculated.
And actually the job that I was looking for was not posted in the normal searches that I was looking for, so it was like my mom heard from a friend who had gotten a phone call about this job but had already taken a job, that there was a job in Walworth. So it kind of was just like something that worked itself out, and I ended up there for 2 years, and it was a great experience.
How scary is it to start out as a teacher? There's a wonderful series of books called Christy, about a young girl, I think about 1905, who comes out to a missionary situation, goes into she lives in North Carolina in a citified area, and then goes out to a very isolated place in the Smoky Mountains, and of course she starts out just absolutely scared. The kids are awful. How bad was your first day? That's usually the legendary thing for teachers.
You know, I don't even really remember. I don't think it was bad. The first year was all about learning how to roll with the punches. The second year, too, really. And it's funny you mentioned Christy, because I remember so vividly the movies, and the only thing I remember is moonshine. That's all I remember about Christy, is that I learned what moonshine was.
The thing I loved about Christy, it reminds me of something from Little House on the Prairie. Little House on the Prairie had kind of a gruff character called, I think, Mr. Amundson, who, despite his gruffness, walked through a winter storm to bring presents to the kids. And the thing I remember is she was picked up at the train station, which was the last bit of civilization, by a crusty old mailman that took her by horseback. And, going forward to, I think it was 1938, when in the Anschluss, 38 or 39, when Germany annexed Austria, and Sound of Music is set in Austria just before that that happens. And we go to Maria. We start with Maria singing in the hills. And that's actually where the Sound of Music comes from. I am going to say we're right outside the West Performing Arts Center. I want to thank you for, in 4 years of doing this show, this is the first time I've ever done it outside, and it's a wonderful experience, especially, Susanna, when we're in the shade and we've got some, we don't have any hills, but we have a mound and some pretty things. But if you could, it'll be wonderful to hear you sing a little bit of whatever iconic song you'd like to sing from Sound of Music.
Sure, I'll do just a little teaser. The hills are alive with the sound of music. with songs they have sung for a thousand years. The hills fill my heart with the sound of music. My heart wants to sing every song it hears.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. To the accompaniment, not of an orchestra of a pit, but Volkswagens and Harley-Davidsons going by on Racine Avenue. But we're doing pretty good. All right, back to Racine, back to our friend Maria at the Abbey. How did she win over those nuns? Was it before she goes off to meet the captain or afterwards?
Before, I think.
I think it's before, too. I think they like her. They just know that this isn't really the place for her. And there's a couple who are really in her corner. And she has a really great relationship with the Mother Superior, which is interesting to kind of feel out and experiment with Suzanne, who is playing the Reverend Mother. Yeah, I think they really love Maria, but she just is not prepared to be so
rigid.
Devout and rigid, quiet, I think is what I mostly mean.
She's a free spirit, and whatever the opposite is free spirit, she doesn't want to be.
No.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit, if we may, about the other people that you're, and I'm in the play with you, is Admiral Von Schreiber. I wouldn't say he's a mean guy, but his job is to get Captain Von Trapp to get back into the Navy, and it's not particularly an optional exercise. But would you like to comment a little bit? Let's start with the director, Judy Smith, who is here at the WestPAC, the West Performing Arts Center, and actually concurrently doing Annie Jr., along with this. West Community Theater has developed out of doing children's plays to now working in grown-up plays like Wizard of Oz and stuff of that nature. Talk about Judy Smith, first of all, what it's been like working with her.
Well, it's just awesome to be doing anything again, but to have somebody like Judy right away, she just, you can see how professional she is, how knowledgeable she is, and I mean, she's doing so many different things that we don't even know at the same time. It's kind of ridiculous the role she plays here. She's, I think you've said before, doing the work of 20 people or something.
And I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, single-handedly.
And part of being an entrepreneur, whether it's in the theater or being at a convenience store selling corn nuts, if you're doing everything, it's a 24-hour commitment, which 4 hours might be sleep. But Judy is doing a tremendous job. Really, I can give you four of the 20, overseeing both the stage work, working with a musical director, helping with the sewing, media relations. Matter of fact, let's talk about that one, if I may, for just a moment, and then we'll get on to Brian, your co-star. Susanna, what makes you a unique person is not only your innate talents for the theater, but it seems like everything you pick up turns to effectiveness. I want to let the audience know how you totally overshadowed me as a former journalist who kind of eased into it. I texted a journalist I knew at CBS 58, and I just gave her the easy sell. Hey, I need some advice on something. You know, I kind of work in it. You, however, went right for the throat and got results. How did you get us on the map of one of the TV stations in southeast Wisconsin?
You know, I'm a put it all out there kind of woman. So,
go for the throat, I think it's called.
Well, I just, I had a very specific thing that I was asking for, and specific connection that I just said, hey, I know this person that you know. Here's what I'm asking. If it doesn't work, that's fine. And she responded, and that was awesome.
Yeah, and the neat thing is, too, that it came from your Walworth connection, if you don't mind saying. You don't have to say the people, but...
Yes, one of my students has a sister There's a little tease for you.
Uh-huh. Yep. All right. Good enough. We'll leave it at that. I think the other way you, to use the vernacular, the way you smoked me was I was busy trying to find good locations. The beauty of the portable microphone is you can go anywhere. The pain is you can go anywhere. So here I was attempting to find libraries and sound rooms and closed off gymnasiums, and you suggested, well, why don't we just go to the theater? I said, what about if the indoors? Well, let's just go outdoors. So if you can picture us sitting here in the midst of the shade beneath the well, those are maple trees, aren't they? And yeah, marvelous. And this would be, we'll have to do this again in the fall. So let's get Maria from the Abbey out to Captain Von Trapp. It isn't all love and roses at the start, is it?
Oh, no. This is the kind of man that she does not want to encounter. And it's probably the kind of rigidity that she didn't like in the convent. So it's kind of that same thing. The captain is very strict, and right away she's not having it. And then he leaves because he's not home very much, and she kind of takes over things the way that kids should behave. And then, you know, from there things change. But.
And you have to play Maria. Check me if I'm wrong, but you have to play her two different ways. I mean, certainly meeting him for the first time. And I don't want to get too much into the script, half because people know it, and the ones that don't, we don't want to have too many spoilers. But there is that certain amount of she has to be very understated and acknowledging him as the head honcho at the start. But then somewhere along the line, she gets kind of, she stands up for herself, and it doesn't take long. How do you play someone as meek first, then strong, than in romance? That's a lot of ranges, isn't it?
It definitely is. And I think the meek is almost, I think Maria's a little bit just kind of thrown by this fact that in one day she's been kicked out of the Abbey and is now going to be taking care of 7 children, which is a lot of children. If you ask my mom, she'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of play her very, she's trying, it's more like, I'm trying to play her, like she's trying to be respectful and do the right thing because she knows that she has to do well here. But then the things that the captain is doing and the things the kids are doing are so ridiculous to her that she's kind of just appalled. And it doesn't take long for her to stand up to the captain because she has a very strong sense of self and a sense of what is right and what is wrong, and she's not going to let anybody tell her differently.
Yeah, and she doesn't mind standing up for to the captain, which makes some interesting dynamics along the way. One of the things I first remember, like you, I got the bug, then I debugged, then I rebugged, and the first thing I remember from a director was, all right, I don't want anybody, I believe it was 12 Angry Men, I don't want anybody watching the film, reading the book, I want you to just give your own impressions. You're in, as being Maria in A Sound of Music at the West Community Theater in New Berlin, you don't have that luxury, do you? Because such an iconic character, Julie Andrews, has become so associated with it. So how do you step up the plate, to use a baseball analogy, and take on a role that everybody knows without being, or is there anything wrong with being Julie Andrews Jr.?
Man, I don't think there is anything wrong with it. I think part of me, especially, like I said, in auditioning for this,
yes,
I was channeling my inner Julie Andrews. But I have not seen the movie in years, and I've decided not to watch it because I do want to make the character my own. And it is so familiar that a lot of it will be similar to the movie. But again, I don't think I've seen it since. I can actually remember that it was on TV once when I was at a friend's grandparents' house, and we watched like a little bit of it, and that's the last time I saw anything of Sound of Music.
Was it the movie itself or the 2012 live performance on NBC by Carrie Underwood?
That was that long ago?
Yeah.
It was the movie itself.
Okay.
It was before 2012. So it's been a while. And I've intentionally kind of stayed away from it because I want the parts where I relate to Maria and I do feel like Maria in a lot of ways. I want that to come through and not just to be, look at this person trying to be Julie Andrews.
Austrian accent or no? Your thoughts. Should parts be played with an accent or should that be reserved for instance, bad guys? How did you decide to play the part as linguistically?
I just decided I would try to narrow my Midwestern accent, which can come out sometimes. But I don't think that, I mean, everybody in that movie does everything British. I think we still kind of have this idea that anyone from Europe is British, so I just didn't really see the point. I knew we weren't all gonna do authentic accents, and it seems like most people are kind of just doing their own voice. So I'm just trying to make sure I don't sound too much like I'm from Wisconsin. But it reminds me of the movie version of Les Miserables. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, with Mr. Master and Commander himself,
Russell
Crowe. Russell Crowe, he said in stereo. Very nice.
Yes. Everybody was British except for one person who tried to do a French accent but kept slipping in and out.
Yes.
And yes, it was supposed to be, they should have all been French or nobody should, really, is what how I feel it should go. But none of them should have been. Had a Cockney accent. Which one of them did, I think?
As I often say on this program, I got good news and bad news. The bad news is it's half over at the 22-minute mark. The good news, and especially with you, Susanna Thorngate, Ryan, we get another whole half of the program with you. And right now is the time where I tell people who we are, and how you get us and where you're hearing us on to the accompaniment of a fine motorcycle. You're listening to WGTD-FM, Kenosha Racine, 91.1 FM. In Walworth County, 101.7 Elkhorn, and in Lake Geneva, 103.3 FM. And you can hear this if you're about to get out of your car on the computer, on the smartphone, at WGTD.org, and you'll hear that whenever, wherever you go in the world. And the world of Susanna Thorngate Ryan is being Maria. I don't think I'm wrong in saying America's newest Maria, but that won't last long. It's a popular production. But getting you back on the stage, I want to cover two things next, and one is going to be your thoughts of your co-star, and the other, I want to take you back to Walworth and some of the things of the history of the Belfry in your own part. So, knowns to us, but not knowns to our audience, perhaps, if they weren't listening in, earlier in the week on the Wednesday morning show with Greg Berg, we had Judy Smith, the director and also the artistic director of the West Performing Arts Center here in New Berlin. New Berlin.
Yes.
You don't say, but it has no relation to West Berlin?
I don't believe so.
I don't think West Berlin exists anymore. When the Cold War ended, all Berlin was all Berlin, and Germany was all Germany.
Right, the walking down.
And, your co-star is Brian...
Madsen.
And what's it like to, well, Brian and Judy were on the morning show, and guess what? You get your whole show. About 4 days later, and you certainly rate it. Is there a hesitancy there during auditions and wondering who your co-star is going to be, or do you just kind of accept what happens and flow with it?
Well, we definitely got the one that I was hoping for. It was kind of an interesting experience. I didn't know for sure that I was going to have the part anyway, but we were looking, and way fewer men showed up to audition for this show.
That explains how I got into the cast, but go on.
Then women. It also explains why we don't actually get married, I think, because there's no priest available to us. But the... Oh, is that a spoiler? Sorry.
Well, no, I think we'll leave the attention as to whether they get married or not. I believe they, let's just say they end up in a church, and they'll wonder whether somebody, there's always that person who stands up and says, I object to this marriage. So okay. we'll leave those possibilities. But you were saying.
But it's actually been really interesting for me, someone who hasn't done anything since high school, to be co-starring with Brian, who has been doing theater professionally and semi-professionally for, I think, most of his life, since he was a kid.
Including film work. I mean, what an interesting combination he has.
Yeah. He's got a resume that I definitely don't have, so it's been very interesting and exciting in that way to be like, wow, I was cast next to somebody like this, but also building a relationship with Brian, just being like, oh, this is just a normal dude. And that's been really, really fun too. We get along really well, off stage and on, I think.
I think that's the top of his resume. It says normal dude. No, he, like all people who are great at what they do, he is humble and quietly effective. What really impresses me too is, along with your fellow women in the cast, I mean, those children are so remarkably talented. Something that, as you know, is important in the theater is that you're always in the moment. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the men from the boys, the wheat from the chaff, the girls from the women. If you're involved in every scene, you're looking, you're reacting, you're not kind of staring off into space. And there was a couple points watching rehearsals where I said, geez, why is she more into the moment? And then as I checked, the kids were acting directly to how the scenes were going. And if it was more important for them to be looking up, it was in the script. But tell me a little bit about the obvious quality of these kids, both their acting ability and singing.
Yeah, there were a ton of kids who showed up, so that was definitely the most competitive part of these auditions. And we ended up with seven. Yep. Really, really talented kids who are fun, who get along, who I need to yell at like I'm their actual mom backstage because of the way they fight with each other and drive their big brother crazy and everything. But yeah, we've got some kids who will probably go on to be professional actors and musicians, and some that are excited that this is a role that they're getting some recognition in and for future roles here at Westpac and everything. They're great, and they're a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah, and there are fun scenes where they have to play as children, and I don't know if it's because it's half real or not, but they have really fun time playing as children. Well, you have experience with children both in church and your career as an educator. Let's go back to you as a child. There's some interesting things. You know all about big families, don't you?
Yes, I myself am the youngest of seven, so I would be the Gretel. The why am I always last is one of her lines. Huh? Because you're the youngest. And I've gotten a lot of because I'm the youngest. I also like to tell people I have eight parents, and that is what it's felt like. Instead of six siblings and two parents, it's felt a long time like eight parents. But now that I'm 25, we're getting away from that. But I did grow up in a big family, in a big musical family. Actually, when I was in utero,
my... That means you were on the assembly line?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I believe so. They never actually told me.
I had 3 years of Latin, so I kind of know that's on the kiddie assembly line. Okay, being put together.
Yes. My mom was an accompanist in Burlington at Hay Lofters for The Sound of Music, and my father played Captain Von Trapp. So I consider that my first time being The Sound of Music. The second time would be in high school when I played Louisa. And here I am at the top. I don't think I could go any more times unless I'm going to play Maria again. Playing Maria, it's kind of coming full circle. And my parents are really excited to see it.
As am I. And the hardest thing in being in the theater is you never really get to see your performances, of your entire performance. You kind of see bits and pieces. Imagine what it's like to be a movie actor where you go and do your scenes and fly home. Any ambitions for film?
Oh, no.
Because?
Because I don't think I'm very photogenic. And
let me stop and use a very precise term, bunk, but go ahead.
Oh, man. I don't know. I've just never really thought about it. I haven't done any projects with friends for short films. My best friend moved out to L.A. and kind of tried that, and it was really rough on her just because living in L.A. as a woman is not a good thing. And I just, if I were to do anything professionally, which I think the time has passed, but I used to have some more Broadway dreams than movie dreams, but they were never very strong because I didn't think that it was the best way for me to help and serve people. So I decided to be a teacher, and that is what feels right.
Yeah, between your Burlington connection, your Walworth connection, New Berlin, and our station being in Kenosha, Racine, congratulations. You've covered every facet, except Northern Illinois, but you had to drive through that to get to North Park. So anybody?
I'm talking Crystal Lake.
Outstanding. Very well. Yeah, I think you can hear us there as well. Let's give people kind of an inside look at community theater, and then I want to get to one of the most famous community theater actors in our area where he started out. And the name of the show is Community Matters. Yeah. So today it's Community Theater Matters. What kind of talent is out there? To say it's amateur is absolutely correct, because if you break down, as a teacher, you know, if you break down it into its original source words, amateur means lover of. And if you love theater, it's really almost a professional love that takes you on. Are you surprised at the amount of talent that is out there? And it's not passing, is it? It's people who really love doing this in the community theater realm.
I'm definitely not surprised. I think it's just there's talent everywhere, and people find their spaces to kind of let that out. I mean, the thing with the amateur, I used to really struggle with calling myself a writer. Mm-hmm. I would never do it. But then at a certain point, I was like, no, you are a writer. You don't have to be published. You don't have to be selling books.
And you are an actor. I can attest to that for
I'm
sure.
I'm an actor. I've claimed singer for forever. I've been singing a long, long time. But, yeah, there's a place, I think, for everybody in all different kinds of artistic areas, and you find some amazing talent in little towns, because I mean, talent doesn't just show up in big cities,
and neither does hopes and dreams, and this is part of trying to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about one of the top movie actors of his day, and I think his day isn't over. Harrison Ford seems to be recapping every iconic role he had before, from Han Solo in The Force Awakens, the Star Wars, to Blade Runner, and then finally he's going to take one more shot at Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford, as you may know, started out at the Belfry Theater, and to think that within our listening area, within 7 minutes of Walworth, where you taught in elementary school, here is where Harrison Ford first professionally acted. That's where he got paid, in community theater, working as a carpenter as Harry Ford, and then as a scholarship attendee of the Belfry Summer Theater. He acted in all kinds of plays and sang, which you see very infrequently, but he does in a couple movies. Now, you have a connection there, don't you, at the Belfry Theater in Williams Bay?
Yes, I've only been there a couple times, but there were some, when my brother, who is now a pastor in Burlington, was the youth pastor at Mount Zion, there was this thing. I don't remember what they called it, so I'm not going to pretend. But they would get the local youth groups together for something, for a worship night every, you know, a couple of months. And I led worship at the Belfry a couple times. Actually, one of the interesting things was that I led worship there right before, it was like a back to school event, and it was right before I started my job at Walworth. So then I found out afterwards that some of my students had actually been there, but of course we didn't know at the time. But then the funny thing was, they thought anytime there was a youth event in Walworth County, I would be there. So they were mad at me one day. They're like, "We went to this youth event yesterday and you weren't there." I'm like, "Oh, well, I don't lead worship at every worship event that exists. I'm sorry if I misled you." So, but I do. The Belfry is a really cool space, and they've done a lot of cool updates to it.
I did an interview with a well-known movie and stage actor who was known for years at the Goodman Theater in Chicago, where he would be the director of the Christmas Carol show, and as well as being in films. Great dear friend, surrogate father, Tony Makas. And you know him as the judge at the end of The Untouchables, and the preacher giving the funny vows in She's Having a Baby, where he, as part of the vows, the husband has to agree to say hello to his wife at the end of the day, ask how her day was, and then it devolves into allowing her to have decorated checkbook covers. The interesting thing that I learned from him, I did the first stories on the Belfry Theater being saved. It was supposed to be a parking lot and a Walgreens and a private group, Transformative Arts, which was actually Christian in nature, took it over. What Tony had to say is, this building, which was originally a Mormon church, one of the sects of the Mormon church, he said that was a place built for worshiping God, and it really needs to be restored. Thank goodness, or God, that it has been, and that you too have filled it with spiritual songs. It almost harkens back to those roots. What's the difference in singing a gospel song, a spiritual song, songs that another faith uplift the congregation and build up the soul? Do you put more into it, or what's the difference between singing a religious verse versus a top 40 or a top Broadway musical?
Honestly, I think it feels like less work to sing in church. I sing in church every Sunday at Lifebridge Church in Burlington, Wisconsin. And
heard on 101.7 FM, I believe. Wow, okay, yeah, you're hitting all the local sites. Well done. So you sing in the Burlington church.
Yeah, my brother and I and other members of the church lead worship there every Sunday. And worship has always been something that came very naturally to me and felt like a calling. So singing for worship, unless I'm very sick, doesn't really feel like it takes much work. It kind of just flows out. Singing for community theater, especially before we had mics, that takes a lot more vocal control, breath support, and things that I learned in college but haven't had to use in a while. So it's definitely different. And pop, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It depends on the range. It depends on a lot of things. I sing a lot of different styles in a lot of different settings. So I change my voice depending on what it is. But I think theater might be the hardest thing to sing, just because there's like a stamina almost that you need. And especially for this role, I sing a lot in this show. So if you come to the show and during Lonely Goat Herd, I look like I might pass out, don't worry, I'll make it. But I know that I'm not enjoying it very much.
Yeah, if Maria has suddenly a red face, we're in trouble. We're talking with Susanna Thorngate Ryan about being America's newest Maria in Sound of Music in New Berlin. About About 35 minutes from Lake Geneva, about 35 minutes from Kenosha, Racine. There are so many areas you can get to in our area here, thanks to Interstate 43. And so, listen, if you guys are interested in seeing Susanna in action and Brian, who she mentioned, take a look, Google, and you'll be surprised by how close. And it's going to be a magical night. I can't wait. I'm hoping in my supporting role, I hope I don't miss a line or an appearance. That's how good it is. And certainly among the goodest, using a kind of a horrific grammar, among the goodest is...
No, I think that's right.
The gooder, the better nature of our beings. There is an important life lesson. I have a garden sign that I put, and in my dark times, it encourages me. When things don't quite work out, and that happens in our life on this earth. And it says, when one journey ends, another begins. And if you think about it, whether it's a relationship with a person, whether it's a lost parent, whether your job is laid off, you always have something that you've learned and gone forward. What is the, and I think that's not a spoiler, what is the Sound of Music equivalent of that, that there's some place to go if one place doesn't work out? The window, when the Lord closes a door, yeah. If I got it right, when the Lord closes a door, he opens a window.
Yeah.
Have you seen those windows in your life from time to time?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm looking for some windows right now, but I know they'll be opened because they always have been before. So it's definitely true. When something ends, something good will come of it, no matter what.
Yeah, there's a a very popular, I think, a historic scripture from Romans chapter 8:32. All things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Our struggles, as well as our good times, surely this has to be the best of times, starring in a play like this. Are you familiar with the term bucket list?
I am familiar with it.
Is this a bucket list role?
It is now. Yeah. Yeah, this was a window for a closed door. I really needed a win in this season of my life. And I decided to audition, and it's been just a lifesaver to have the community and have something to be proud of and something that I know I'm good at and to be validated in that way.
Relatively new bride yourself, as Maria may or may not become. How does that, falling in love with somebody, how does that translate on the stage at all?
you, what do you mean?
thank you. A phrase commonly, what do I mean? You know what it's like to be in love with somebody. Does that come in handy on the stage when you have to fall for somebody, let's say?
It does, but it's mostly making eyes when it's on the stage. Love is a lot harder work in real life than it is on the stage, honestly. But, yep, I just finished my first year of marriage and looking forward to many, many more.
Oh, good luck to you. You say you finished it? You're past the first anniversary?
We passed the first anniversary. That was the night they canceled rehearsal because I decided I wanted to go out with my husband.
You know, I've often said my timing isn't the best. I don't know if you kids still do this, but in my baby boomer days, you saved the cake for a year and you got half of it. I missed your cake, didn't I?
Well, we didn't have cake, but we had cake like pops, and we still have plenty of them in the freezer, so maybe I'll bring some next time we've got rehearsal.
We've got about 40 seconds left. Let me ask you, what is the biggest reason people should attend this play, even if they've seen the film? The stage play is very different, isn't it?
It is, and there's nothing like being immersed in the live production. It's just great to be part of an audience, and you'll be able to feel the energy from the actors, from the kids. There's a full pit. It's going to be so much fun, and we're having so much fun doing it. So you should definitely show up.
And you'll hear a couple new songs by the Baroness, and you'll even see Admiral von Schreiber. So I'll wave from the audience. Susanna Thorngate, Ryan, playing Maria in Sound of Music in New Berlin. This weekend and next, performances Saturday and Friday at 7 p.m. and matinees. Thank you so much for being with us on Community Matters, Susanna.
Thank you for having me.
And you out there in Radio Land, please have a safe and prosperous afternoon, and God bless.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring River Valley Mushroom Farm, a variety of mushrooms grown chemical-free for the past 40 years. Also available, salsas, dips, spreads, and sauces. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until